Rather lengthy gospel today. I wish I had a glass of water up here. But one that's not unlike what we heard last week. Now, of course, this week's story is a story of a healing of a physical infirmity, a blindness. Last week, though, was a story of opening the truth about eternal life into the heart of a woman. Last week, Jesus met the woman at the well. The Samaritan woman who was there just doing her daily grind, getting the water to lug it home for her wash or for cooking, for drinking. And in the middle of that ordinary day, in that ordinary work and toil that she did, she heard about the Son of God. She met the Son of God. Jesus said to her, "I am He." And so, too, today we find this blind man. Now, he's not named, just like the woman at the well isn't named. But he was someone who was known in town. He was the guy who was always sitting down, you know, in the curb, begging for food, begging for money. Probably people thought of him at best as a nuisance. At worst, probably as less than human. He had no way to provide for himself. And even though we know that his parents were alive because they had to come and testify on his behalf about who he was to the Pharisees, even though we know he had parents, both his parents, and they were both alive, even they apparently did nothing for him. For he was out on his own on the street. A man who had nothing. And he's not hard to imagine. Now, sitting at a well gathering water is, you can imagine that as sort of a quaint picture or maybe something from a movie, but a homeless blind person begging in the streets is not hard for us to imagine today because we can see that every single day in towns and cities all across our country. Every time I go downtown and get out of Suburban Station or Jefferson Station or wherever I'm going, I see people sitting with signs asking for food. People of all different walks of life. Some who have served in the armed forces of our country and have been let down and sort of swallowed up and eaten up in the system. And so they exist as shadows of people on the street. Because we don't really want to look too much at them. You know, some people have pity and give a coin or two or maybe a sandwich. But the majority of people just hustle by. We pretend that they're not there. We may get agitated that they're sort of in the way. You know, there are a lot of people in Center City. And they have places to go, things to do, meetings, lunches, you name it, all the things that busy people do, and it's crowded, and here you've got someone taking up space on the sidewalk, and so you have to step over, and it's an inconvenience to us. But I think the thing that really keeps us from looking at those people today and kept people from acknowledging this man in the story of the Bible, in the gospel reading from the Bible, is the same thing, the same human truth that we live with today, and that is that these people, when we see them on the side of the street, they bring up in us our own fears of inadequacy, our own fears that something could happen, that we're sort of hanging on by a thread, and you know a whole chain of events could unfold, and we could be there just like them. And it's scary to think that we could be without a job, without a home, without food, without any kind of prospects, without family, any kind of human interaction. It's terrifying. And so we like to pretend that they're not there. But who is it that God used in this case to show his glory? This blind man. As Jesus and his disciples walked by, the disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents that he was born blind. Maybe they thought that they were really asking a clever question and that they would, you know, earn some points with the rabbi this way by being so precocious. And Jesus says to them, in his way of turning every accepted norm on its ear, "Well, neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him." Well, what in the world does that mean? And with that, Jesus spits on the ground into the dust of the earth, the dust from which humankind was made, and he forms a little bit of mud. He spreads that mud on the eyes of the man and tells him to go to the pool of Siloam and wash. He goes and washes, and suddenly he can see. And then, of course, he goes on to be questioned over and over again by the authorities, by the Pharisees. They even call in his parents to verify his identity, and they just won't quit badgering him with questions about how he now sees and who did it and how. And I don't want to focus on that because I think that's a whole other sermon, but I think what has spoken to me at this particular time is this word that Jesus speaks to his disciples. Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. Once again, God goes to the least, the lowest, the most likely of human beings to show forth his glory. Just yesterday was the Feast of the Annunciation, where the angel Gabriel came to the young, simple woman Mary and asked, extended God's invitation to her to bear his son. Another example of God using the least and the lowest and the most unlikely. And how does Jesus help this man to see again? He takes spit and dirt and makes mud and wipes it on his eyes and tells him to go wash in a pool. Just the most basic things that are around us all the time, the most basic people who are around us all the time, that we walk out over. We walk over the dirt, we walk over the people in our tunnel vision, going about our daily tasks, and we miss out. But Jesus didn't miss out. God doesn't miss out on any of us. God uses all of us in a special way. And I was, you know, not tying these together yesterday, but I'm thinking about what I wrote for the Trinitarian, which was yesterday, about how sometimes it's frustrating when someone says to you, when you have a plan, and you just know in your heart how it's going to happen this way. I'm going to do step A, step B, step C. It's all going to add up. It'll be perfect. And everything's coming up roses. But then the plan doesn't work. You get disappointed, dejected, depressed. But then in the end, something happens when you can look back and say, oh, now I can see where God's plan was in this. Now I can see where I closed my eyes to God's will. Now I know what I was supposed to do. And hopefully we do it. Because that's what St. Paul says to the Ephesians, just in the epistle today. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. But it's not often easy, is it? Oftentimes we are enmeshed in all sorts of factors beyond our control, from the outside, from work, from life, from just, you know, existing, all the toil and tribulation that entails. And it's so easy to lose sight of the light. As Jesus says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So it's easy to lose focus of that light of Christ, which is in every single one of us, and in everyone you meet, and every created being. But because of the darkness that is around us, and there's a lot of themes of light and dark today, it's wonderful to think about that. It's easy to get caught up in the darkness and think that the darkness is going to overwhelm the light. But as we know, because Jesus was obedient to God's will, even though he struggled with it, think about the Garden of Gethsemane. But because he was obedient to God's will, not only do we have these struggles like Jesus had, but we also have Easter. We also have that promise of everlasting life, that living water that gushes forth like a fountain that Jesus told the woman at the well about. It's not just for her back then. It's for all people who have come. It's for all of us now, and it's for all who are not yet born. And so think about this as we continue on this journey of Lent towards the cross of Calvary, towards the tomb, and eventually towards resurrection itself. Think about how God walked among us in the form of Jesus Christ. Think about how he saw with the eyes of God, with the heart of God, what we can't see. Remember back in that reading from the Old Testament, how we read, "Do not regard the height of his stature or his looks, for God does not see as humans see." God sees the heart. God sees what is inside. So no matter how beautifully you're dressed or how attractive you are or how wealthy you are or your status in society, all those things that people value are of no account to God, because God sees in your heart. God knows who you are inside that hard shell that we all construct on the outside. And he asks us to just crack that open a little bit. Just crack that open and let that little bit of light out. Because there is darkness in the world, and there always will be until God returns. But in the meantime, we all carry Christ in us. And if Christ is the light of the world, then we all have a little bit of that light to give. So as we continue this journey of darkness in Lent, surrender to God, be open to his will, be attentive to his voice, and give. Just open your hearts a little bit more and a little bit more each day. Let that light of Christ out into the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.